Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus was quite the storyteller. In fact, in our reading this morning, we read that Jesus told the crowds all things in parables. Without a parable, he told them nothing, I just read. Now, that doesn't mean that Jesus only spoke in parables, but then when he was teaching the crowds in this instance, everything he taught them, he used a parable as an example or to illustrate a point. And parables are like fables or allegories. They're stories that are told for a purpose. Or as one of my New Testament professors said, they are stories with intent. 900-page book, he wrote, about stories with intent. Jesus told three such stories with the same intent or purpose to explain or describe the kingdom of heaven. And when taken together, we might conclude that the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard-flavored wheat bread. Right? Wheat, mustard, yeast. Clear enough. But I don't think that's what Jesus intended us to conclude with these stories. Each of these three stories could stand on their own and describe a component or aspect of the kingdom of heaven, but when read together, as the gospel writer of Matthew has put them together, we get a more well-rounded image or explanation of the kingdom of heaven. Jesus begins by saying the kingdom of heaven can be compared with a man or someone who sowed good seed in his field. Now, the kingdom of heaven is not like the man, but instead like the situation of a man sowing good seed in his field. And he has sown good seed in his field, and then while he is resting, an enemy, the enemy comes and sows weeds among the wheat. Can you imagine weeds in your field? Or maybe you don't have to imagine so much because you've experienced it yourself. Maybe you have struggled to keep your neighbor's weeds out of your perfectly manicured, weed-free lawn. So you know the frustration, the anger, the disappointment of sowing good seed, and then that seed that grows the grass or the grain or the wheat, then you find these unwanted weeds in your lawn and you didn't put them there. Where did they come from? Probably my house. I have a neighbor who I don't think really appreciates my lawn care practices. His lawn looks just so. And I spend more time working on our backyard because that's what I see more often than the front yard, and that's where we spend more time, but I can assure you, even our backyard is not without weeds. But this parable isn't really talking about yard work or horticulture or even farming, really. It's about how things can look deceptively alike, but in actuality be very, very different. The wheat and the weeds look identical until harvest time. They're kind of like the houses that we heard about last Sunday. The one was built upon the rock, the other was built upon the sand. They both look alike, they both look sturdy and prepared for the storm, but when the rain starts to fall and the winds pick up, that house on the sand goes splat, as the song goes. And that's what the kingdom of heaven is like. It's like a neighborhood of houses that look similar, but some are built on rock and some are built on sand. Or it's like a field that looks like it is full of wheat when in reality the wheat and the weeds are coexisting, growing side by side, and you can't tell them apart. We can't tell them apart. But the sower can. Jesus explains his parable to say that the Son of Man will send his angels to reap, to discern the wheat from the weeds. It's not our job. It's Jesus' job. It is said that the weed that is described here as looking like the wheat. So the weed that looks like wheat at the harvest is when you can tell the difference between the two, because the wheat, which is actually created grain, begins to bow over. But the weed creates nothing. So it stands tall and proud. And at the time of the harvest, it's easy to differentiate the two. Like the house that is built upon the sand, eventually the weed will reveal who and what it is. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed that produces a tree-like shrub where the birds can make their nests. Have you ever seen a mustard seed? Can you see it?
No.
I didn't bring one, but even if I had, you wouldn't be able to see it from where you were sitting, so. Whether it is there or not, you wouldn't be able to see it, but once it grew into a tree-like shrub, you would definitely be able to see it from wherever you were sitting or even online. The point of this parable is, I think, not just that the seed is so small and that the shrub becomes so big. I think the point is, when the seed is still a seed, you can't tell what it might become. You can't tell what it might become. It has all sorts of potential. But we don't know which seeds are going to grow into tree-like shrubs, do we? Like the wheat and the weed, we don't know which will be which. Yet eventually it will be revealed to us. But we don't get to decide. That seed becomes something unexpected. Hopefully something unexpected in a good way. But not all seeds germinate and grow into a shrub. In fact, it is impossible for us to predict which ones will grow and which ones won't. So we scatter a lot in the hopes that some will. And so we then need to tend those seeds and give them the opportunity to grow and to become what they were intended to be. The same is true of yeast in bread. Not all yeast will grow to create bread that Paul Hawley would be proud of. You ever watch that great British baking show? I hate to say I do. It's not my fault, it's my mother's. You introduced it to me. In the show, they take 12 amateur bakers from Great Britain and they put them in a tent, and every week they have to do a different type of baking, produce something different. And they'll tell them what it is before the week begins. So one week, it might be cakes, another candy or chocolates, another pastry, and another bread. And one of the judges, he's always a judge, Paul Hollywood, I guess it's his real name, it sounds made up. He is like the king of bread, and on bread week, he's relentless. You didn't prove it enough. You didn't have enough rise here. It's a little doughy at the bottom. These are accomplished bakers, amateurs, but accomplished bakers who have worked with yeast a ton. And even they don't know how the yeast is going to turn out in that tent on that day, if it's hot or if it's cold or if it's raining or if the wind's blowing or if they didn't turn on the oven. We can't predict how that yeast is going to rise. We can't predict who's going to win and be named the greatest baker in Britain that year. You know what they get? You know what the prize is? An engraved cake plate. 12 weeks every weekend, you're like there 3 days recording and sweating and baking and whatnot for the prized cake plate. You can't read an engraved cake plate if you put a cake on it. I don't do so well with yeast. I know some of you do. So I leave that to you. The yeast never seems to rise like it's supposed to when I'm working with it. It's finicky. We don't know necessarily what we're going to get. These three stories that describe the kingdom of heaven shouldn't be told together to mean that the kingdom of heaven is like that mustard-flavored wheat bread, like I suggested at the beginning, these stories individually and together illustrate that the kingdom of heaven is not like what we could create or imagine on our own. The kingdom of heaven is unexpected, unpredictable. It's bigger than we can imagine. It's greater than we can imagine. It's full of weed-looking wheat and little seeds that become trees and unpredictable and temperamental yeast that doesn't always produce the same type of bread. The kingdom of heaven is diverse, and thankfully it doesn't play by our rules. We're given these images of the kingdom to describe and compare it with these things, but those images are not the kingdom of heaven. These stories are not the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven is something different. It's not confined to our understanding or limited to our imagination, thanks be to God. The kingdom of heaven is created by God. So God gets to decide what the kingdom of heaven is and ultimately who is in it and who is not. It is not for us to decide who we perceive as worthy to enter into the kingdom of heaven, or for us to decide who looks like wheat or who looks like weed. In fact, we don't even get to decide that for ourselves if we will enter the kingdom of heaven, at least not entirely. Yes, we play a role, but we only get to play a role because God has been gracious enough to provide an invitation to each and every one of us to enter into that kingdom. Without that invitation by God, there's nothing we could do to be worthy enough to enter into the kingdom of God. But through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, you have been given an invitation to enter through that narrow path. I think last week or the week before, we read that the path was narrow. You have an opportunity to have a little bit of faith like that of a mustard seed, to become something far greater than you already are, to enter into this kingdom that is beyond our imagination, is far greater than a shrub-like tree of mustard. The invitation has been extended. And it's not our place to decide who gets in and who doesn't. The one who is invited makes that decision and continues to reach out to weeds, to reach out to us, to invite us to table, to invite us back into the kingdom of heaven. Not because we deserve it, but because God loves us. The kingdom of heaven is not our creation. We can't put the parameters around it. We shouldn't be building a fence around it to try and protect it from those other people, because perhaps it should be being protected from us. But because God is gracious and loving, God invites us and seeks us and welcomes us. People, weeds like me and you, into the kingdom of heaven. It's available to all people, not because we deserve it, but because God loves us. Without the invitation, without Jesus, we would be destined to be weeds, collected and thrown into the furnace of fire, because on our own, we can't yield the grain that is necessary to prove that we're worthy of citizenship in the kingdom of heaven. But by the power of the Holy Spirit, we are changed. We are being changed. We are becoming more like Christ. By the power of the Holy Spirit, we are able to resist the temptations of the evil one. Maybe not every time, but more and more as we faithfully read the Holy Scriptures, as we come to the Lord's table, as we remember our baptisms, as we pray for God's mercy and help, as we tend and nourish our faith, our lives become something much greater than the small seed of faith that they were first started off as. It takes time, it takes care, it takes intention, it takes faith, and by that faith, through your faith in Jesus, you will shine like the sun in the kingdom of heaven. Now that's a story, the story I think that Jesus was telling the disciples and us with these three stories that are told together. So anyone with ears should listen. Listen and hear God's loving invitation into the kingdom of heaven. Amen.